14. Alba Sedge tossed her damply tangled black hair over her shoulder and plonked her chin on Gunnar Hofhorn's chest. She traced gentle circles round his left nipple with one finger. He put a sweaty arm round her slim back, drew her other hand to his mouth, and delicately kissed her fingers one by one. She smiled. Dinner, talk, drink, shared smoke bowl, agreeing fuzzy heads might be cleared by a dip in the grey Aries pool. Splashing, fooling around, and fooling around. Alva had been holding back a little for part of the evening, until she'd been certain the man didn't just expect anything to happen. Then, when she'd convinced herself that he wasn't taking her for granted, that he liked her, and that after that awful time in the module they did get on, that was when she'd suggested the swim. She raised her chin off his chest a little and flicked her finger back and forth over his tinily erect nipple. "You were serious?" she asked him. "An affronter?" He shrugged. "Seemed like a good idea at the time," he said. "I just wanted to know what it was like to be one of them." "So, now, would you have to declare war on yourself?" she asked, pressing down on his nipple and watching it rise back up, her brows creased with concentration. He laughed. "I suppose so." She looked into his eyes. "What about women? You ever wonder the same? You took the change once, didn't you?" She settled her chin back on his chest. He breathed in deeply, raising her head as though on an ocean swell. He put one arm behind his head and stared up at the roof of her cabin. "Yes, I did it once," he said quietly. She smoothed her palm over his chest for a while, watching his skin intently. Was it just for hell? He craned his head up. They looked at each other. "How much do you know about me?" he asked her. He tried quizzing her over dinner on what she knew and why she'd been sent to Tyr to intercept him, but she'd played mysterious. And, to be fair, he wasn't able to tell her exactly why he was on his way to the sleeper service. "Oh, I know all about you," she said softly, seriously. Then she looked down. "Well, I know the facts. I suppose that is not everything." He lowered his head to the pillow again. "Yes, it was just for her." "Mm-mm," she said. She continued to stroke his chest. "You must have loved her a lot." After a moment, he said, "I suppose I must have." She thought he sounded sad. There was a pause, then he sighed again, and in a more cheerful voice he said, "What about you? Ever a guy?" "No," she said, with a laugh that might have held a trace of scorn. "Maybe one day." She shifted a little and circled his nipple with the tip of her tongue for a moment. "I'm having too much fun being a girl." He reached down and pulled her up to kiss her. Then, in the silence, a tiny chime sounded in the room. She broke off. "Yes," she said, breathing hard and scowling. "I'm very sorry to intrude," said the ship, making no great effort to sound sincere. "May I speak to Mr. Gunnar Hofhorn?" Alva made an exasperated noise and rolled off the man. "Good grief, can't it wait?" Gunnar Hofhorn said. "Yes, probably," said the ship reasonably, as though this had just occurred to it. "But people usually like to know this sort of thing immediately, or so I thought." "What sort of thing?" "The sentient module, Scapella Franchi, is dead," the ship told him. "It conducted a limited destruct on the first day of the war. we have only just heard. I'm sorry. Were you close? Gunnar Hofoen was silent for a moment. No. Well, no, not that close, but I'm sorry to hear it. Thank you for telling me. Could it have waited? The ship asked conversationally. It could, but I suppose you weren't to know. Ah, well, sorry. Good night. Yes, good night, the man said, wondering at his feelings. Alva stroked his shoulder. That was the module you lived on, wasn't it? He nodded. We never really got on, he told her. Mostly my fault, I suppose. He turned his head to look at her. I can be a scumbag sometimes, frankly, he grinned. I'll take your word for it, she said, climbing back on top of him.